Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of Ben and Woods. I don't know if the Padres are going to bide their time until July for retaliation slash revenge, but I'm enjoying the discussion as to which Dodger they should hit. Should it be Ohtani, the big star? Should it be Freeman, the veteran? Should it be Betts? Should it be Will Smith, after what he said about Jurickson Profar being irrelevant? Should it be Max Muncy to improve his face?
That's what somebody said. Yeah. You don't want to hit anybody in the face.
There's a lot of debate on to which Dodger should get it.
All of them.
But again, if they're going to, it's going, as Paul said, they don't visit again until the end of July.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while. Will it be forgotten?
Yes. It's my guess.
Possibly. We'll find out. Just want to remind everyone, we made the big announcement on Friday. If you did not see it, though, the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open is coming to Goat Hill Park in Oceanside on June 19th. We're going to be off all day with two 18-hole shotgun starts, one at 8 a.m., one at 1 p.m. We'd love to see as many Tier 1s out there as possible for a fun day of food, drinks, prizes, games, golf, camaraderie, just everything fun. The first two excursions out to the Ben and Woods Opens have been fantastic, so we're hoping for another great one this year. So please, Paulie will put the link in the chat, I believe, and on our social media channels. Again, you can find them by going to all of our pages. It's there. It's up there somewhere if you want to sign up for the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open coming up June 19th at Goat Hill Park in Oceanside, my favorite place.
It's your like home course. It's so fun. It's a great spot for a scramble. It's going to be a great day. We got so much cool stuff planned.
Right off the freeway. Easy to get to.
Yeah. Great prizes as well.
Yeah.
Auction prizes and things like that. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have good Padres tickets you can win out there. My buddy, Ben, who runs our pitcher, Ben Bruff, runs a limo service. He's going to drive you to and from the game is part of that prize as well, which is incredible. Callaway's come through with a bunch of stuff for you guys, too. It's really going to be a special day. Come out and play. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's a scramble. So Goat Hill's a challenging little spot, too, man. So it's going to be a fun time. We'll have some drinks together and enjoy each other's company.
All right. Let's go back to Saturday night's game against the Dodgers before we play take on Woods. I guess the highlight was the new attendance record, more than 46,000 fans that night at Petco Park. Of course, the expansion to Gallagher Square has allowed the Padres to get a few more people into big games, and that has been the biggest one so far. Matt Waldron, can't say anything really bad about Matt Waldron.
You
know, you're very, you know, went in with a lot of trepidation, knowing is the knuckleball going to work? Can he fool the Dodgers? 5 1/3 innings, just two hits. Did get charged with two earned runs. One was on the Freddie Freeman home run, which was
a good pitch.
It was a good pitch. It was a porch shot. If it's anyone but Freddie, it's probably not a home run.
No doubt.
Any other ballpark other than Petco, it's probably no more than a double. So a little unlucky there. And then the inherited runs allowed to score when Adrian Morejon came in and got one out, but walked the other two guys to load the bases. And then Eniel De Los Santos gave up the grand slam to Teoscar Hernandez that put that one out of reach. Padres offense, of course, never got going against James Paxton. That may have been the biggest surprise of the weekend. The one pitcher you thought, the lefty that had walked eight the first time he faced the Padres this season. Comes back, doesn't walk anybody. Padres just can't get anything going against James Paxton on Saturday night. Six innings, four hits, four strikeouts, and the Dodgers get the 5-0 win for their only win of the weekend in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Chris Ello's stat last week that we just don't win when Matt Waldron pitches. I don't know what you can really ask, and it's a confluence of events. It's the fact that sometimes he doesn't pitch great, and that's going to happen. But then the offense just no-showed. I mean, no-showed. Could not get one single thing going off Paxton, which surprised the hell out of me.
It's I think the updated stat now is 21-11 when anybody else pitches, and 1-10 when Waldron or Vasquez starts.
That's hard luck, man. That's a hard, hard luck. His ERA is now back down to 5.49, which isn't great, but that being said, he was fantastic.
He's had enough
that
good
night.
Starts.
Yes.
That the Padres should have won at least a few more games that he started.
He had that stat earlier, the Padres pitching staff did something that hasn't been done since, you know, the Revolutionary
he's
War.
He's part of it.
He's one of those
yeah,
guys.
He's
so
in
he
it, man.
Well.
He absolutely is in it. And I just, that back and forth, who's going to show up, who's going to grind out ABs, you know, there was no grinding going on Saturday.
I think there is one legitimate concern coming out of this series, and we'll talk about it. First, I want to throw out the phone numbers for Take on Woods, though. Got a new trip to Las Vegas, zero qualifiers so far. If you'd like to be the first, Take on Woods in our musical trivia challenge. Two nights at the Westgate and tickets.
Yes, yes.
To Rock Bliss, Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. Got a chance to win those coming up here in a couple of minutes. Give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Cherry Pie, right, is Warrant's big hit.
That is their biggest hit, but they have some great other songs. Blind Faith, I Saw Red, Down Boys. I mean, one of my favorite bands. Now, their lead singer tragically passed away years ago, but they got a new one, and they're carrying on. Their guitar player lives in Temecula, local flavor.
With AI, they can bring all the lead singers back now. Holograms, whatever.
I would go to that so fast it'd make your head spin. Also, Lita Ford's going to be there. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Who's going to win this thing? I want to throw one so somebody maybe gets a chance
take
to
you
go.
And then take
me with you.
So the one legit concern coming out of this weekend is the Padres' middle relief / setup bullpen.
Boy,
and the inconsistency from everyone other than really Robert Suarez.
We are searching. And I saw, you know, a lot of people clamoring for Adrian Morejon to get some high leverage. I, on the roundtable, said, based on his stuff, try him as a starting pitcher. And I know he hasn't been stretched out and all that, Benny. He's like a three-inning max guy. Why not use a guy with that kind of stuff in a starting role? And then he comes out and does that. Now, so I don't know that he's fit for the 6th, 7th, or 8th. I don't know that he's fit to be a starter. I don't know what he's fit for. Really needed him to hold that. And to be fair to him, I don't want to gloss over this. He threw strike three to Will Smith. It was not called. But that's going to happen. You got to flush it and move on.
But I think bigger than whether or not Adrian Morejon is going to come through is the inconsistency from Wandy Peralta, who did get the job done yesterday, but put a couple of runners on and, you know, started to get nervous
guy got on an error. Was that off Suarez?
That was off Suarez.
Okay.
Daniel De Los Santos is now giving up a home run every single time. Yeah. Didn't even have to come back in a second inning to do it this time. Those guys who are supposed to be your main setup guys have really been inconsistent / struggling lately. That is a true concern for the Padres going forward here.
Funniest thing is about 4 weeks ago, I said, look, we've moved beyond the need for a Stephen Kolek. If you let him go, you can find another Stephen Kolek, and he's actually been pretty good.
I mean, is it time for Jeremiah Estrada to be getting more high-leverage chances? You can't necessarily go away from the, you know, the proven guys, but bullpens are so unpredictable.
That bridge is going to give us all ulcers. The bridge from 6 to 8 is going to give us fits. right now.
You could almost see Yu Darvish pitching yesterday going, I do not want to turn this game over.
I don't want to give this over.
My middle relief. I've got to get through seven at least with a lead so we can get closer to Robert Suarez, the only guy that has really been trustworthy so far this season.
I do love how when somebody falters, it's obvious you need to get Estrada in. Last week, the Friday night, it's got to be Morejón. You got to throw Morejón in.
I mean, we need an 8-out save.
Robert Suarez. I mean, he is Robert Suarez, and he's making the rest of these guys look terrible. That's how good he is. He's so unflappable. Nothing gets to him. But you're right. We got to find the roles that are right for these guys, and that has got to be Mike Schilt's toughest challenge tonight.
And just in the ultimate baseball irony, what's the one area that we thought A.J. Preller did a great job addressing in the offseason? Well, at least he put together a good bullpen.
Yeah.
And that's been maybe the biggest concern now already. Now,
it's funny how that works.
There were some signs. Now, I know why he did it. He was trying to reduce the payroll. But there's a reason why when Scott Barlow was traded for Eniel De Los Santos. Who was that? Guardians trade? Is that where the Guardians,
they just,
right?
They
why would the Guardians take on a more expensive player and give up a controllable reliever if they didn't think Barlow was quite a bit better than De Los
Santos,
right?
I don't know
how he's doing, but they obviously must have had some reservations about De Los Santos if they were going to give him up and take on money. It's not like the Guardians are the most free-spending organization. The Padres were trying to go on
Scott
the cheap.
Barlow's doing well.
They were trying to go on the cheap in the offseason. This was a smart move in that context. You get a good arm, but they gave him up for a cheaper arm to save some money. And right now it seems like it's biting them a little bit.
It's funny, man. It's like Eniel always seems to find himself in the middle the last week or so, right? When you can't look past the good that he's done as well. There was a time when he was very, very stable. How do we get back to that Eniel De Los Santos? Is it the position that you're using him in? Is it mechanical? I have no idea, but I haven't lost faith in him. I really haven't. I haven't really lost faith in anyone. The thing that
I mean, the Padres lost faith in Tom Cosgrove. He was supposed to be a critical setup guy for them, and he was so bad that they had to send him down. It has not gone well outside of Suarez for the Padres bullpen.
No, and Michael says you got to flush the terrible calls, but it's absolute crap. The bad calls cost you runs. Yeah, I mean, he had him K'd up. He had Will Smith K'd up. It was a perfect pitch, bottom of the zone, called a ball.
We didn't even bring up Matsui, who started the season well, and now he has been consistently struggling. So those are three main setup guys.
Yeah, Jeff, this is great. And this is what I wanted to remember here. Jeff said, every reliever is going to go through stretches. They have the Luis Garcia syndrome. Eniel had one game with bases loaded. He struck out the side. He's got it in him. Most of these guys can
bounce back. Yeah. They can. They just can't all struggle at the same time, or you're going to lose a lot of games that you probably should win.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're to the point now where you're going, Stephen Kolek should get the nod. This is just what we do, and this is just what fans do.
All right. We'll talk about Friday's game coming up in a bit. Right now, though, let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Chris, you are up, buddy. Good morning. Welcome to Take on Woods.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Well, we're pretty good. Hopefully you can be our first qualifier this month. Told you about the prize, thanks to the Westgate Las Vegas and their $70 million in room renovations. So the two nights and the tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra. Here are your categories this morning. Double Trouble, five bands with double words in their name. A View to a Killer, killer the key word in all those questions and answers. And our new category, it's called In a Word, The Beatles. And this is something new that I'm trying. It's one word song titles, but you don't necessarily need to know all the songs. I've got kind of a trivia question that goes along with each one. So trying to open it up to a wider clientele and Take on Woods. So Double Trouble, A View to a Killer, or In a Word, The Beatles, Chris.
I am the biggest Beatles fan in the world.
That's
so
pretty good.
Go within a word.
All right. In a word, the Beatles is our category. So trying something new today called In a Word. If it goes well, we're going to bring it back. The category focuses on, of course, Polly's all-time favorite band, the Beatles. Your job is to identify some one-word song titles. One-word song titles from the group with questions that don't necessarily require any musical knowledge to answer. Although, if you are a Beatles fan, that will only help you out. Now, there's no two-second song in this one, so your time will start when I just begin reading the first question. So, Chris, are you ready to play?
Let's go.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when I start reading. Good luck, Chris. Let's take on Woods. Which Beatles song shares a name with the 24-hour period that ended a little more than 7 hours ago?
Mother Will Know.
Incorrect. Which Beatles song shares a name with a type of thrush known for its dark plumage?
Pass.
Which Beatles song shares a name with the act of overthrowing a sitting government or monarch?
Pass.
Which Beatles song shares a name with the First Lady of the United States from January 2009 to January 2017?
Melania? I don't know.
Incorrect. Which Beatles song shares a name with a person we'd call an IRS agent here in the United States?
Taxman.
Correct. Which Beatles song shares a name with a type of thrush known for its dark plumage?
Blackbird.
Correct. Which Beatles song shares a name with the act of over... Okay, you kind of started getting it at the end. You got Taxman, you got Blackbird. The 24-hour period that ended 7 hours ago is yesterday. Revolution is overthrowing a government or monarch, and Michelle is the song that shares a title with the First Lady. So 2 points for Chris. Let's bring Woods in. He's probably going to be annoyed by this category.
Yeah.
All right, Chris's score is locked in. All right, this is a little bit different. There's no two-second song, but you don't get the category, so you'll kind of figure it out as you go, I think, pretty fast. Okay. 60 seconds on the clock. Time begins when I start reading the first question. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Chris. Which Beatles song shares a name with the 24-hour period that ended a little more than 7 hours ago?
What? Pass.
Which Beatles song shares a name with a type of thrush known for its dark plumage?
Blackbird.
Correct. Which Beatles song shares a name with the act of overthrowing a sitting government or monarch?
Pass.
Which Beatles song shares a name with the First Lady of the United States from January 2009 to January 2017?
Michelle.
Correct. Which Beatles song shares a name with a person we call an IRS agent here in the United States?
Taxman.
Correct. Which Beatles song shares a name with the 24-hour period that ended a little more than 7 hours ago?
Mother's Day?
Incorrect. Which Beatles song shares a name with the act of overthrowing a sitting government or monarch?
It's going to drive me nuts.
I don't know. That one's Revolution.
Oh.
And the other one's Yesterday.
Oh God!
But you did get a 3-2 win.
Ooh, that
that's
tough.
A new. That wasn't. I was trying
I like
something
that
new
bit.
There. That's
I like
called.
The bit. I do.
In a word, the Beatles. One word song titles with trivia questions that match each of the answers.
I do like that bit a lot. That's good.
So Chris got two. Ooh. You got three.
Mother's
you
Day.
Hold on. Yesterday,
I'm like Mother's Day. Do they have a song?
Yeah, it's tricky. It was different.
I like
was
yesterday.
Trying to. I'm trying to open it up to people who don't necessarily know all the music.
Yeah, but you're clever. That's a clever.
You've got trivia questions there.
Yes,
Chris. Thank you for trying.
Yes. All my troubles.
I love that song.
So far away. Beautiful song.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've got Don't Do This coming up next. I was going to talk about those Dodgers marchers in Don't Do This. We already kind of addressed it earlier. I don't know if there's anywhere else to go there, but we'll figure it out when we come back.
I think they've been sufficiently embarrassed.
I think they have.
This
yeah, we'll figure it out when we come back. Ben Woods back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com, take a look at their happy hour specials today. Krafttaco.com. I think I heard on their spot on the Padres game that they are like number 22 in the country on Yelp or something for tacos. People are loving the Kraft Taco. We did when we went. It was terrific. All right, I'm going to start Don't Do This with an incident that took place over the weekend in Rome. Maybe you saw the video. After his second round win in the Italian Open, Novak Djokovic was walking over toward the tunnel, and they had people looking for autographs, which is fine that they do that at the end of tennis matches. And a guy is leaning down from the stands above to try to get an autograph, and his big, heavy water bottle falls out of his backpack and falls like 10 feet and just bonks Djokovic right in the head. He goes down like a house of bricks, and he's got blood on his head. That he didn't need stitches. He said he was okay, but obviously
High did it come from?
I mean, he was like 10 feet up, like leaning way down.
Oh, that is a
ow. Let me see. Yeah, I mean it's really heavy.
All right, now you stand.
No. This is.
I'm just gonna drop it.
It's gonna. Don't break it.
I'll buy you a new thermo flask.
Yeah, it's from Costco. Yeah. Go.
Jeez, oh my God!
Can you imagine that hitting you in the head?
You have a condom on the bottom of yours.
Yeah, that sounds painful. So Djokovic said he was okay, but then came back out yesterday in the third round and lost and said, "I just never really felt like myself. It was not a great match. Lost the first couple of sets." Yeah,
somebody dropped an anvil on my head a cartoon when I was a kid.
And it wasn't on purpose. It was totally. And I can see how it happens. You've got it in your backpack, you're leaning down to try to get an autograph, and it slides right out. I mean, I'm sure that guy felt absolutely horrible.
Him showing up in the helmet was priceless, though, the next day.
But unfortunately, did not work out well for him.
All right, we have to amend this a little bit because I want to get to this story for Doo-Doo. This is great.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
My friends here, Ben and Paul, I don't think they're as impressed with this as I am, but
I'm impressed.
It's a sports anchor.
You're easily entertained.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, okay? His name's Owen Sebring. He really likes the band Queen. And so he decided to do a tribute, an homage to them. Well, by starting every word of his broadcast with the word in a Queen song, to then go back and put this montage together. This is how he did it.
buddy, your boy, making a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday.
Pause. Now remember, every time it's the first word.
Remember, what you just heard was probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Correct.
Of sportscasts, right there.
So every
just
time,
10 to 15
buddy,
words. That's a week. That's
five.
One week right there.
Buddy, you're a young man. That's five. It's a whole week.
Yeah, or if he does two a day, then it's half a week at least. But we're talking. This is a long bit.
It's a
mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing. We will rock you. We will rock you, buddy. You're a young man. Man shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, you big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it out. We will rock you, buddy. You're an old man, poor man, pleading with your make you some peace someday. You got mud on your face.
That's unbelievable. So he starts his broadcast with the next word.
I mean, that must have been months.
So, like, okay. So
sometimes he was in the studio. Sometimes he was out on the road.
Yeah.
And he said it was the first word of every sports cast.
So imagine. So how do you even start with buddy?
I don't know.
How do you
start with blood?
Yeah. Blood rains down to that. Like, what? He's genius.
I mean, place. Think of a sentence that starts with place.
Place your finger on the dial and to turn it up.
But how are you going to... I want to see the whole sportscast now.
He's like the Incorporator, but he did an entire song.
Here's the thing. The commitment is impressive. The creativity is impressive.
Genius.
Was he really giving you the best sportscast over the last 3 months, or was he just desperately trying to cram in a bit that didn't really fit many times?
Sioux Falls, Iowa. Who cares? Like, what is he talking about? Prolific the Graces, that's a don't do this. I don't know. I think that's a... Yeah, you want to impress me, as Dominic says.
Tom says disgrace is a... That's an impressive one to start. The first word.
A Bohemian Rhapsody would be a little difficult to do. Scaramouche. Scaramouche, everybody. It's your old pal Ben.
Fandango is a site where I got my movie tickets today, and this game was like a movie when we...
Benny, what song would you do, and will you do this?
I will not do this.
No. Hey, everybody, it's Ben
That's
Higgins.
Easy.
There
was another game at Petco Park tonight.
Delilah.
Delilah would be very hard to start a sports cast
over
with.
And over and over.
Yeah. I appreciate the commitment to the bit, but anytime I see videos like that from the news broadcasts,
I think it's
cringy.
In Iowa, there's nothing else.
It was like when every sportscast or weathercaster or whatever in America was doing Taylor Swift quotes, like the week of the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are going to have to shake it off this weekend.
Paulie, I was homicidal during that. During that, I lost my mind.
That's the same thing.
No, this guy's by himself doing a bit for only himself, and then he releases. I think it's genius. Genius.
Well, you just have to watch me, I guess, tonight to find out
what
word
do.
I start my sportscast with, and then you can figure out what song I'll be.
Good way to drive the audience to watch you.
Perhaps.
See if they can put together Ben's song.
Should only take a couple of days. I can't imagine anyone figured that out while he was doing it.
No chance. No chance. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant commitment to bit.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Friday was an epic night at Petco Park. Yeah, they were rocking Petco Park on Friday night. I was there sitting down the third baseline. I will give you my thoughts of just being in the middle of one of the better baseball games I have witnessed in person.
And if you have not heard the gamut of calls for the walk-off, radio, television, Spanish broadcast, Korean broadcast, stick around.
Paulie's got them all coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Took a big risk on Friday night, Woods. Got invited to the game by our friend Nezzy, who is a golf pro up at the Havens Country Club, formerly Vista Valley.
Beautiful place.
Nez is a great guy. Invited Shelly and I. We went to the game. But for his good qualities, he is a Dodgers fan.
Diehard.
Yeah, he got good tickets, though, from one of his members who couldn't go. And we sat in the third row, right past third base, down the left field line. I had never actually seen a game from that perspective. Really low down. Like, you're basically field, like, literally on the field level down there, watching the game from that low and seeing it from behind kind of Manny's perspective and the third base coach's perspective. Now, what I couldn't see was the movement on Michael King's pitches and how, you know, nasty he was. I could see Luis Camposano never having to move his glove at all, essentially, and you could tell how locked in he was. But then I went watched later just the incredible ride he had on his changeup. But I'd also never, he had a tailgate pass for the tailgate lot as well. And we actually tailgated a little bit before the game and then after the game, waiting for the parking lot to clear out, and just sat there for like 45 minutes while everyone else was just stuck in traffic, because it was one of the most crowded games I've ever been getting out of Petco Park, because everyone stayed for the end. It was a walk-off, and it was absolutely jammed getting out of downtown on Friday night, so we just kind of kicked it on the back of the car and just sat there for like 45 minutes, which I had never done that either at the end of a game.
You're describing all the things that we normally
do.
Sit down there, not in the press box, sucking on free hot dogs, sucking on free soft serve, talking to Hacksaw. You know,
sucking on a chili dog.
Yeah, sucking on
a chili dog.
Just shooting the breeze with the saw. How you doing? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
There weren't a lot of tailgaters, though. The tailgate lot was not filled with tailgaters.
And not after.
Even before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Man,
yeah. I love a good tailgate out there. It's so much fun. You know, you get a little bit lubed up before you get inside and then go have a great time. But yeah, you get to watch Manny's ass all night at third base.
Yeah, but I risked having to drive home with a Dodger fan, you know, if they had won.
No. Yeah,
I wanted to drive home with a mad Dodgers fan.
Sure, for sure.
I didn't want to have to drive home with a gloating Dodgers fan. Unfortunately, I did not.
What a game it was.
Yeah, we will get to all the calls of the walk-off by Luis Arraez in his first home game as a Padre right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Sean, yeah, just echoes that sentiment. Ben, you're just describing a normal fan experience.
Yes, I am.
But glad you enjoyed it.
I did. So what you don't get normally is such a great pitcher's duel. And not just one, but both starters were fantastic in that game. Obviously, Michael King, 8 of the first 9 outs of that game were by strikeout. I mean, we had a good view of the K board down the right field line as the K's just kept popping up and going like, this is incredible what he is doing against this Dodgers lineup.
Glasnow too. Like, I was doing the math. I'm like, there's been 17 outs and there's 14 combined strikeouts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Glasnow was in many ways just as good or better. 7 innings. He gave up one hit? And struck out 10.
Yes.
In 7 innings. And that wasn't good enough. He left losing that game. Because that one hit, of course, was the solo home run by Luis Camposano.
Gets on top of a 97-mile-an-hour heater and just rips it out of the yard. Was an unbelievable swing from Campy, and just timed it up perfectly, man. It was beautiful.
So we were just talking about the bullpen woes. Obviously, Mike Schilt goes to Yuki Matsui in the 8th, and he gives up the tying run on a Mookie Betts single that would have been a routine out had it not hit him in the leg.
Yeah.
It was going
right at
Xander Bogaerts at second base. It would have been an easy out. Now, Ohtani's...
And to his defense, you didn't see this on TV. It wasn't one of those scenarios where the pitcher, being a moron, trying to make the play, he just smoked it up the middle.
And he did hit it hard, and that's on Matsui as well.
Yeah. But Yuki didn't do like the, ooh, let me kick save this to myself. No, it just smoked him in the leg. Bad luck for the Padres.
Now, the Ohtani double was well struck the other way. Good piece of hitting, and Ohtani has been the best hitter in baseball. And then after that, Matsui did a nice job of minimizing the damage.
Huge.
Gave up the sack fly to Freeman, but then got out of the inning with the
double play.
Huge. Giving up a run in that scenario while everyone was going crazy, oh, you wasted Michael King's performance, you're going to blow the game, bad bullpen management. Giving up a run to the top of the Dodgers lineup is not the biggest crime a relief pitcher has ever committed.
It's absolutely
not. He didn't give up 2. He didn't give up 3.
Nope.
He lost the lead, but I kind of at that moment was going, you know what? I'm okay with that. They get out of that inning with a chance to win the game still.
Let me just go back, because again, you're watching from down the third baseline. I cannot say enough to you about the quality of pitches that Michael King threw.
It was filthy.
The run on his changeup, the run on his sinker. It was wiffle ball-esque in the first few innings especially. I mean, and as you saw, he ripped through 7 of 8 strikeouts. You couldn't have hit it with an oar.
He throws across his body, and his foot's pointed towards third base. His right arm comes around towards the left-handed batter's box, and that ball just slides 2 feet.
He had 23 inches of run on one of his pitches. 23 inches of run is 2 feet. It was unbelievably great that night, and you saw that, and you went.
That means where you think the ball is going to be, and you swing. The ball is actually 2 feet away.
It is
not making contact with that.
It is so. It's amazing anyone ever hits any of these pitches ever, but he was so dominant, and you do feel for him that he didn't get the win, certainly. But man, you're going against Tyler Glass now. You got to scratch out a run. You did it with the long ball. Again, the only hit he gave up. He was spectacular as well. A lot of fun to watch pitch. I hate that he's a Dodger because I do love that guy.
So the Padres don't score in the bottom of the 8th.
Yep.
And then they bring in Suarez in the top of the 9th.
Yep.
Gets the job done as he always does. But you're going to the bottom of the 9th. And I actually said this at the game. I go, you better win it here because
you got to.
The Dodgers' top of the order would be coming up again in the 10th. And who knows who's coming in to pitch. You've got to win it here in the bottom of the 9th. And Campy leads off the inning. And I'm sitting down, of course, the left field line. So he pulls one into the corner. I can't see it there. I am sure that ball is foul. I'm sure it's foul. And he's running. I'm going, what's going on? That looked like a foul ball to me. But there he's standing on second. I'm going, I got to see the replay of this later. Yeah, just barely fair down in the corner.
What a night.
So Mike Schilt, I think, smartly gets very aggressive by putting in Tyler Wade to pinch run at second base.
Got to do it.
Tries to get the runner over to third with the Kim bunt. Apparently, he got absolutely hosed on one of the
calls.
He did.
It was a foot outside.
I couldn't tell on that one, but he did
so
not
hot.
Get the job done. And that was, at the time, felt like maybe critical, like the critical mistake that's going to cost the Padres the game. Who knows? Maybe it's what won the Padres the game because you have a different set of circumstances, runner on third versus runner on second. The Dodgers decide to pitch to Luis Arraez, knowing that a single could beat them. I understand Fernando Tatis Jr. is in the on-deck circle.
Bro,
there's no one I'd less want to pitch to in a situation where a single beats me in Major League Baseball today.
Than Lord Single himself.
Than Luis Arraez.
Lord Single. He's the singles master.
I don't know what they were thinking.
You've got in that situation.
Michael Grove, one of your lesser relievers in there.
Yeah.
Why on earth do you not set up a double play force? I mean, even Tatis hits hard grounders at people sometimes.
And Tatis, you know, I mean, honestly, like it's a weird thing to say. I'd rather face Tatis in that situation based on kind of how things have been going for him in that game.
If it's a three-run game, you don't want to bring his power bat up for a chance. But in a tie game, yes, I'd rather face Tatis any day of the week compared to Luis Arraez.
No doubt. That's right. Righty, righty.
Are you scared of him hitting a bomb? Because Luis Arraez doesn't matter.
A bomb, a single, all the same in that situation.
All the same. I loved it. I loved every second.
Why they did that, I have no idea.
Keep him forever. Lifetime contract.
I'm so glad that they did.
Best manager in baseball.
And, of course, the results were
go Dave Roberts.
Pure bliss for the crowd, for fans at home. And Paulie has amassed every single call. Luis Arraez in his first home game at Petco Park. Let's start right here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.
Left-handed batter. Here's the first pitch from Grove. Line into center field and a base hit. Wade's on his way to third. He's going to be waved. Outman's throw is on the way. No chance. And the Padres walk it off.
Who else? Luis Arraez.
Love it.
Solid. Very good. Well done, as always. I know the television call got a lot of run for the restraint. Well, first of all, the excitement of Don Orsillo, followed by the restraint of Mudd waiting forever to chime in. But here was Don's call.
Line to center field, a base hit. Wade's coming around from second. Here comes the throw. He will be safe. Welcome to San Diego, Luis Arraez. Walk-off base hit. Padres win it.
Absolutely. We have gone 2 hours and 50 minutes, and you have not even mentioned that you called for this on Friday.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I asked for it specifically right at the end of the show on Friday.
Yes, you did.
I said, Padres have done a lot of good things this year. One thing we have not seen is a walk-off win. If they're going to win against Tyler Glasnow, it's probably going to be a close game. I said, let's get that check box checked on Friday night, and let's get the walk-off win. So, yeah, it absolutely happened. Now, people have said they did not hear the Dodgers version of it. Paulie, of course, is a choir. This is Joe Davis on TV. Yeah, there's the Dodgers call.
So Luis Arraez in his first game at Petco Park, up there with a chance to win the game. And he bangs the base hit into center field. The game at the plate. Outman's throw, not in time. And he's a hero in his first game in San Diego.
That's a nice call from Joe Davis. Yeah. Thank you.
Gets the job done. It's fine.
Woke up from his nap to call that last bit of action.
The Spanish call is always great. We've got Eddie Ortega here calling it for the... Padres on the radio.
Primer bate. Arraez, línea de hit. A ver, jugada home. Viene el tiro. Safe home. Safe home. De cabeza. Tyler Way. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. Dejó lo mejor para el final. Arrasando. Arraez.
Unreal. Arrasando Arraez.
Unreal.
I heard safe at home, safe at home. We went English on that call.
Home, safe at home,
safe at home. Safe at home, safe at home. De cabeza, Tyler Way. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. Dejó lo mejor para el final.
The head, Tyler Way.
Arrasando Arraez.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
What a great call by Eduardo Ortega.
As usual, man. I mean, come on. It's like Manny playing third base. Eddie makes so many great calls. You're like, right. You're great. Just another one. You know, we've taken it for granted. He's so good at
what
he does.
That was terrific.
Oh, head first slide. Got it.
Oh, head first slide. Cabeza. Thank you.
Cabeza. Love it. De cabeza.
And by the way, if Campusano had still been out there, I don't think you send him. If
no,
you do, he's probably out.
Make it. He does not
but
make
Tyler
it.
Wade, the pinch runner, made a huge difference there.
That was so cool.
Of course, we have one more call.
Oh, yes. Program director's nightmare.
I have not heard it yet.
자, 2루가 됐습니다. 그리고 루이스 아라에스 센터 쪽에 떨어지죠. 홈으로 미끄러집니다. 파드레스의 끝내기 진입니다.
Unreal. It's my favorite. One more time.
루이스 아라에스 센터 쪽에 떨어지죠.
I've never been that excited about anything ever in my life. I just need some of that joy
it's
in my
incredible.
Life.
I want to get those guys on the show. I don't know 100%. If we'll need a translator or
maybe.
But they're so excited about Padres baseball. I have no idea who they are,
where they've
come from, how long they've been doing these games. Have they been doing it since Ha-Sung Kim arrived? Have they been calling Padres games
in Korea
30 years? Are they at Petco? Are they in Korea? I have no idea who they are. Other than they are amazing.
Johnny says you can hear how badly they wanted Kim to walk it off the at-bat before. Yeah, 100%. I did tweet, hey, listen, I've said it. You guys will back me up on this. You know I don't hate all bunts, right? Time and place for a bunt. That was one. But if he gets that down, they probably walk Arraez there.
I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe Tatis, too.
Interesting.
You might not win the game if you actually get the bunt down.
Crazy, man. Baseball's wild. Wild.
The butterfly effect.
Sometimes when you win, you actually lose. When you lose, you actually win.
All right, we'll come back. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. More Padres talk all the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Took a big risk on Friday night, Woods. Got invited to the game by our friend Nezzy, who is a golf pro up at the Havens Country Club, formerly Vista Valley.
Beautiful place.
Nez is a great guy. Invited Shelly and I. We went to the game. But for his good qualities, he is a Dodgers fan.
Diehard.
Yeah, he got good tickets, though, from one of his members who couldn't go. And we sat in the third row, right past third base, down the left field line. I had never actually seen a game from that perspective. Really low down. Like, you're basically field, like, literally on the field level down there, watching the game from that low and seeing it from behind kind of Manny's perspective and the third base coach's perspective. Now, what I couldn't see was the movement on Michael King's pitches and how, you know, nasty he was. I could see Luis Campusano never having to move his glove at all essentially, and you could tell how locked in he was. But then I went watched later just the incredible ride he had on his changeup. But I'd also never, he had a tailgate pass for the tailgate lot as well. And we actually tailgated a little bit before the game. And then after the game, waiting for the parking lot to clear out. And just sat there for like 45 minutes while everyone else was just stuck in traffic. Because it was one of the most crowded games I've ever been getting out of Petco Park. Because everyone stayed for the end. It was a walk-off. And it was absolutely jammed getting out of downtown on Friday night. So we just kind of kicked it on the back of the car and just sat there for like 45 minutes. Which I had never done that either at the end of a game.
You're describing all the things that we normally do. Sit down there, not in the press box, sucking on free hot dogs, sucking on free soft serve, talking to Hacksaw. You know.
Sucking on a chili dog.
Just shooting the breeze with the saw. How you doing? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
There weren't a lot of tailgaters, though. The tailgate lot was not filled with tailgaters.
And not after.
Even before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. I love a good tailgate out there. It's so much fun. You get a little bit lubed up before you get inside and then go have a great time. But yeah, you get to watch Manny's ass all night at third base.
Yeah, but I risked having to drive home with a Dodger fan, you know,
mad.
If they had won. No.
Yeah,
I wanted to drive home with a mad Dodgers fan.
For sure.
I was I didn't want to have to drive home with a gloating Dodgers fan. Unfortunately, I did not.
What a game it was.
Yeah, we will get to all the calls of the walk-off by Luis Arraez in his first home game as a Padre right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Sean, yeah, just echoes that sentiment. Ben, you're just describing a normal fan experience.
Yes, I am.
But glad you enjoyed it.
I did. So what you don't get normally is such a great pitcher's duel. And not just one, but both starters were fantastic in that game. Obviously, Michael King, 8 of the first 9 outs of that game were by strikeout. I mean, we had a good view of the K board down the right field line as the K's just kept popping up and going like, this is incredible what he is doing against this Dodgers lineup.
Now too, like, I was doing the math. I'm like, there's been 17 outs and there's 14 combined strikeouts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Glasnow was in many ways just as good or better. 7 innings. He gave up one hit? And struck out 10.
Yes.
In 7 innings. And that wasn't good enough. He left losing that game. Because that one hit, of course, was the solo home run by Luis Campusano.
Gets on top of a 97-mile-an-hour heater and just rips it out of the yard. Was an unbelievable swing from Campy and just timed it up perfectly, man. It was beautiful.
So we were just talking about the bullpen woes. Obviously, Mike Schilt goes to Yuki Matsui in the 8th, and he gives up the tying run on a Mookie Betts single that would have been a routine out had it not hit him in the leg.
Yeah.
It was going right at
Xander.
Xander Bogaerts at second base. It would have been an easy out. Now, Otani's...
And to his defense, you didn't see this on TV. It wasn't one of those scenarios where the pitcher, being a moron, trying to make the play, he just smoked it up the middle.
And he did hit it hard, and that's on Matsui as well.
Yeah. But Yuki didn't do like the, ooh, let me kick save this to myself. No, it just smoked him in the leg. Bad luck for the Padres.
Now, the Ohtani double was well struck the other way. Good piece of hitting, and Ohtani has been the best hitter in baseball. And then after that, Matsui did a nice job of minimizing the damage.
Huge.
Gave up the sac fly to Freeman, but then got out of the inning with the
double play.
The double play.
Huge.
Giving up a run in that scenario while everyone was going crazy, oh, you wasted Michael King's performance, you're going to blow the game, bad bullpen management. Giving up a run to the top of the Dodgers lineup is not the biggest crime a relief pitcher has ever committed.
It's absolutely
not. He didn't give up 2. He didn't give up 3.
Nope.
He lost the lead, but I kind of at that moment was going, you know what? I'm okay with that. They get out of that inning with a chance to win the game still.
Let me just go back, because again, you're watching from down the third baseline. I cannot say enough to you about the quality of pitches that Michael King threw.
It was filthy.
The run on his changeup, the run on his sinker. It was wiffle ball esque in the first few innings, especially. I mean, and as you saw, he ripped through 7 of 8 strikeouts. You couldn't have hit it with an oar.
It's
the way he throws
across his body,
and
his foot's pointed towards third base. His right arm comes around towards the left-handed batter's box, and that ball just slides 2 feet.
He had 23 inches of run on one of his pitches. 23 inches of runs, 2 feet. He was unbelievably great that night, and you saw that, and you went.
That means where you think the ball is going to be, and you swing, the ball is actually 2 feet away.
It is
not making contact with that.
It is so. It's amazing anyone ever hits any of these pitches ever, but he was so dominant, and you do feel for him that he didn't get the win, certainly. But man, you're going against Tyler Glass now. You got to scratch out a run. You did it with the long ball. Again, the only hit he gave up. He was spectacular as well. A lot of fun to watch pitch. I hate that he's a Dodger because I do love that guy.
So the Padres don't score in the bottom of the eighth.
Yep.
And then they bring in Suarez in the top of the ninth.
Yep.
Gets the job done as he always does. But you're going to the bottom of the ninth. And I actually said this at the game ago. You better win it here because
you got to.
The Dodgers top of the order would be coming up again in the 10th. And who knows who's coming in to pitch. You've got to win it here in the bottom of the ninth. And Campy leads off the inning. And I'm sitting down, of course, the left field line. So he pulls one into the corner. I can't see it there. I am sure that that ball is foul. I'm sure it's foul. And he's running. I'm going, what's going on? That looked like a foul ball to me. But there he's standing on second. I'm going, I got to see the replay of this later. Yeah, just stayed, just barely fair down in the corner.
What a night.
So Mike Schilt, I think smartly, gets very aggressive by putting in Tyler Wade to pinch run at second base.
Got to do it.
Tries to get the runner over to third with the Kim bunt. Apparently, he got absolutely hosed on one of the calls.
He did. It was a foot outside.
I couldn't tell on that one, but he did not get the job done. And that was, at the time, felt like maybe critical, like the critical mistake that's going to cost the Padres the game. Who knows? Maybe it's what won the Padres the game because you have a different set of circumstances, runner on third versus runner on second. The Dodgers decide to pitch to Luis Arraez, knowing that a single could beat them. I understand Fernando Tatis Jr. is in the on-deck circle.
Bro,
there's no one I'd less want to pitch to in a situation where a single beats me in Major League Baseball today.
Than Lord Single himself.
Than Luis Arraez.
Lord Single. He's the singles master.
I don't know what
it's
they
the
were
one
thinking.
Guy you've got want in that situation.
Michael Grove, one of your lesser relievers in there.
Yeah.
Why on earth do you not set up a double play force? I mean, even Tatis hits hard grounders at people sometimes.
And Tatis, you know, I mean, honestly, like it's a weird, it's a weird thing to say. I'd rather face Tatis in that situation based on kind of how things have been going for him in that game.
If it's a three-run game, you don't want to bring his power bat up for a chance. But in a tie game, yes, I'd rather face Tatis any day of the week compared to Luis Arraez.
No doubt. Wait, righty, righty.
What, are you scared of him hitting a bomb? Because Luis Arraez doesn't matter.
A bomb, a single, all the same in that situation.
All the same. I loved it. I loved every second.
Why they did that, I have no idea.
Keep him forever. Lifetime contract.
I'm so glad that they did.
Best manager in baseball.
And, of course, the results were
just Dave Roberts.
Pure bliss for the crowd, for fans at home. And Paulie has amassed every single call. Luis Arraez in his first home game at Petco Park. Let's start right here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.
Left-handed batter. Here's the first pitch from Grove. Line into center field and a base hit. Wade's on his way to third. He's going to be waved. Outman's throw is on the way. No chance. And the Padres walk it off.
Who else? Luis Arraez.
Love it.
Solid. Very good. Well done as always. I know the television call got a lot of run for the restraint. Well, first of all, the excitement of Don Orsillo, followed by the restraint of Mudd waiting forever to chime in. But here was Don's call.
Line to center field, a base hit. Wade's coming around from second. Here comes the throw. He will be safe. Welcome to San Diego. Luis Arraez. Walk off base hit. Padres win it.
Absolutely. We have gone 2 hours and 50 minutes, and you have not even mentioned that you called for this on Friday.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I asked for it specifically right at the end of the show on Friday.
Yes, you did.
I said, Padres have done a lot of good things this year. One thing we have not seen is a walk-off win. If they're going to win against Tyler Glass now, it's probably going to be a close game. I said, let's get that box checked on Friday night, and let's get the walk-off win. So, yeah, it absolutely happened. Now, people have said they did not hear the Dodgers version of it. Pauly, of course, is a choir. This is Joe Davis on TV. Yeah, there's the Dodgers call.
So Luis Arraez in his first game at Petco Park, up there with a chance to win the game. And he bangs the base hit into center field. The game at the plate. Altman's throw not in time. And he's a hero in his first game in San Diego.
That's a nice call from Joe Davis. Yeah, thank you.
Gets the job done. It's fine.
Woke up from his nap to call that last bit of action.
The Spanish call is always great. We've got Eddie Ortega here calling it for the Padres on the radio.
Primer bate, Arraez, línea de hit. A ver, jugada home, viene el tiro. Safe home, de cabeza, Tyler Way. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. Dejó lo mejor para el final. Arrasando, Arraez.
Unreal. Arrasando Arraez.
Unreal.
I heard safe at home, safe at home. We went English on that call.
Safe at home. De cabeza. Tyler Way. Se acabó el juego. Ganaron los Padres. Dejó lo mejor para el final.
The head.
Arrasando Arraez.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
What a great call by Eduardo Ortega.
As usual, man. I mean, come on. It's like Manny playing third base. Eddie makes so many great calls. You're like, right. Oh, you're great. Just another one. You know, we've taken it for granted. He's so good at
what he does. That was terrific.
Oh, head first slide. Got it.
Oh, head first slide. Thank you.
Cabeza. Love it. De cabeza.
And by the way, if Campusano had still been out there, I don't think you send him. If
no,
you do, he's probably out.
He does not make it.
Tyler Wade, the pinch runner, made a huge difference there.
That was so cool.
Of course, we have one more call.
Oh, yes. Program director's nightmare.
I have not heard it yet.
자, 2루가 됐습니다. 그리고 루이스 아라에스 센터 쪽에 떨어지죠. 홈으로 홈으로 미끄러집니다. 파드레스 끝내기 순입니다.
Unreal. It's my favorite.
루이스 아라에스 센터 쪽에 떨어지죠.
I've never been that excited about anything ever in my life. I just need some of that joy in my life.
I want to get those guys on the show. I don't know 100%. If we'll need a translator or
maybe.
But they're so excited about Padres baseball. I have no idea who they are,
where they've come from,
how long they've been doing these games. Have they been doing it since Ha-Sung Kim arrived? Have they been calling Padres games
in Korea
30 years? Are they at Petco? Are they in Korea? I have no idea who they are. Other than they are amazing.
Johnny says you could hear how badly they wanted Kim to walk it off the bat before. Yeah, 100%. I did tweet, hey, listen, I've said it. You guys will back me up on this. You know I don't hate all bunts, right? Time and place for a bunt. That was one. But if he gets that down, they probably walk a rise there.
I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe Tatis, too.
Interesting.
You might not win the game if you actually get the bunt down.
Crazy, man. Baseball's wild.
The butterfly effect.
Sometimes when you win, you actually lose. When you lose, you actually win.
All right, we'll come back. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. More Padres talk all the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.